Okay, we're in the Gemara Kedushin, page Mem Hei Amid Beis, page 90, or in the Schottenstein, it's 45b2. In the middle of the page at the two dots, as they say in Yeshiva. The Gemara we started, but we really only get a few lines. All these Gemaras we're learning, a girl gets Kedusha without the father knowing about it. There are all these crazy things that are going on. Now, this one introduction to this Gemara, which is very simple. A girl who's married to a Kohen can eat Truma. Okay, Truma is normally only eaten by a Kohen. That's what you take from the Tvua, you give 2% average to the Kohen. That Truma is holy, it can only be eaten by a Kohen. The wife of a Kohen could also eat it. Now, Min HaTorah, biblically, as soon as a Kohen does Kedushin with the woman, she can eat Truma.
Even if she's doing that far.
Biblically. The rabbis came along and said no. You know why? We're afraid she's going to give it to her family. She's still living at home. She's not married yet. Remember, Kedusha was done a year before the marriage. Right? So biblically, she's already married, not married, but she's betrothed to the Kohen. So she could eat Truma. But the Chacham say you can't, because we're afraid she's at home with her father and brothers who are not Kohenim. She's going to give them the Truma to eat. And that's capital punishment. So now the question is like this. Therefore, practically speaking, a girl can eat Truma when she's married to a Kohen after the wedding. Correct? Not before. Now, what happens, Gemara says, again, these crazy cases, but these are much easier cases. Niskachi l'dasavia, a girl got engaged, a minor, with the intent of her father. Her father consented. V'holoch avia l'mdina siyam, and then before she got married, the father went overseas. V'amda v'nissa, and she got married with her chosen, without the father's knowledge. Can this girl eat truma or not?
How old is she?
A minor.
Minor.
Again, what was the story again?
The girl accepted Kedushin, a minor, 10-year-old girl. Uh-huh. The father agreed to it, no problem. Okay? But only the Kedushin, not the marriage.
Right.
Then the father left town.
Uh-huh.
And the girl got married without her father's consent.
Right.
Okay.
He consented to the
the Kedushin, not necessarily to the wedding. Let's see in a second. The din is, Amarav, Eichelis betruma, she's allowed to eat truma, Achiyave avia ve'imcha, until the father comes and protests it. Because if the father, one second, if the father protests it, then the wedding is not valid. Okay? So now the question is like this. Should we be afraid that the father will come back and protest the marriage? Remember, before we learned in the Gemara, if the girl does it without her father's knowledge, the Kedushin, will the father want it or not? But here, the father wanted the Kedushin. He consented to the Kedushin. The question is, can we rely that if he already consented on the Kedushin, he'll consent on the marriage also? And therefore, let her eat Truma. If the father comes back and protests, she'll stop eating Truma. So Rav says, yes, that's what you do. Ravasi Amar, Eina Icheles, she is not allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because Shema Yavai Aviyah V'Yimcha, maybe the father will come back later, whenever he comes back. He'll protest the marriage. V'Nimsa Zara Icheles B'Truma L'Mafer, retroactively she's eating Truma. Because if the father doesn't agree to the marriage, she can't get married either. She's still a minor. Rav says, listen, there's a strong assumption over here, right, that the father will consent, because he did consent to the Kedushin. So why shouldn't he consent to part two? Rav Asi says, no. We're still afraid maybe the father is going to come back. And the Gemara tells an interesting story. One second. Hoya Uvda, there was such a case by Rav, that the girl got married, Kedushin with the father's consent, and she married without the father's consent. Even though Rav said she could eat Truma, but Rav ruled like a Ravasi, that you can't. It's very interesting. So Tosfos has a whole interesting discussion. Does that mean Rav changed his mind or not? So many of the commentators of the Gemara say, well, that means Rav changed his mind, because he held she's allowed to eat truma. Then the story came up and he said, no, like Rav Asi, that you can't. That means Rav changed his mind. And Rabbi Natam says, no, the Halach is like Rav anyway. Why? Because Rav was the Rebbe of Rav Asi. Okay, he was the teacher. And there's a rule, until Abai and Rava, when there's an argument between a teacher and a student, the Halach is like the teacher. Now, if Rav was the teacher, and Rav Asi was the student, so even though in this case, Rav gave in to Rav Asi, and said she cannot eat truma, because maybe the father will come back, but over there was an exceptional case. But as a rule, Rav would hold his din, that she could eat truma. And other Rishayim Taisis being downhold, no, Rav changed his mind, and he ruled like Rav Asi, that means his opinion is non-existent anymore.
Even though at this point she needs to get it, she wants to separate.
Oh yeah, for sure. But now the Gemara says an interesting thing. Amar Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchok, umeida Rav, that Rav would agree though, okay, she imesa eina yorsha, that if she dies before the father came back, the husband does not inherit her. Truma, Rav says she could eat. Okay? But when it comes to money, no. What does this mean? The din is, when a woman dies, the husband inherits her. Okay?
But
when a husband dies, the wife doesn't inherit.
She does not have property. Or does she?
One second. Let's see, she owned property. Let's see, she did. Okay? Now, what happened over here? The girl did Kedusha with the father's consent, but now got married without the father's consent. Right? So it's really still a doubt. Does the father consent to the marriage or not? To Kedusha he consented to. That's not the issue. The question is, does the father consent to the marriage? If he does, it's 100% good marriage. She can eat truma, and if she dies, the husband inherits her and everything. But if he doesn't consent, then she's not married anymore. Right? Because she's a minor. She can't get married without the father's permission. But Rav says like this, because it's a doubt, there's a halachic rule in monetary issues. When there's a doubt, you keep the money where it was. Because you cannot extract money on a doubt. You can only extract money on a definitive thing. Okay? Whether the father will consent or not, we don't know. Right? Now, if the father doesn't consent, then it's not a marriage. Right? So who owns her money? The father. Once she gets married, the husband owns it. But we don't know if she's married or not, because we don't know if the father consented or not. Right? So the money is really a doubt now. Who does the money go to? Does it remain by the father, or does it go to the husband? So by truma, Rav says, let her eat truma. But by money, the money remains where it was.
She's married in his house already, when she's eating the truma.
Yeah. She married and moved in. But the question is, the father could still come back and not consent. So the money is a doubt. So the father didn't come home yet. Right? And now, she died. So will Beis Din give the husband the money? No, because maybe the father doesn't want the marriage. Though they were never married, whose money is it then? The father's money. But if she's not married, the father gets her money. If she is married, the husband gets the money. But we don't know. So the money stays put.
And if the father dies in the interim, it goes to the next of kin?
The boys are not boys, but that's the Gemara's not even going there.
Just about Rav, it says Rav kind of Peli, even a Tana, if there's an argument between Rav and a Tana, he still wins.
No.
He could argue with a Tana.
He could argue, doesn't mean he wins.
But it's not like, it's always according to him, Hamas?
No, not at all.
You just argue.
There's a general rule with Rav and Shmuel. When Rav and Shmuel argue, which they do a lot in the Gemara, In monetary laws, the halacha remains like Shmuel. In Isser Heter, Kosher Treif, that stuff, it's like Rav. Because that was Rav's expertise, and monetary issues were Shmuel's expertise. Okay, next case.
What is the logic by the teruma and money? The money you keep saying by teruma.
Because the rule is, by money, you cannot extract on a doubt.
Logic.
Logic is very logical. If I come to you and say that Gemara is mine, yeah, and you say no, it's yours. What is halacha? It's a doubt. I say it's mine. You say it's yours. What's the halacha? Yeah. Who? Until now, whose Gemara was it? Right. Why? But it's a doubt. Say split it 50-50. When there's a doubt of money, you don't extract money on a doubt. Okay? Because the owner owns it. He has what's called a chazakah. He has an established fact that he owns it. That's not debatable. Right? If I say you sold me something, and you say no you didn't, and there's no proof, who keeps it? You. Why? Why do you keep it? Because it was yours. And when there's a doubt, the money stays put. You want to take away money? You want to change hands of money? That you need the definite proof. You can't do that under doubt. Truma is a halacha question. Is she allowed to eat truma or not? So Rav says she got married. The father agreed to the kedushin. We don't know if he agreed to the marriage. So Rav says, meanwhile, which way is it leaning? It's leaning that the father would agree to the marriage because he agreed to the kedushin. So therefore, let her eat truma. When it comes to money, until you know 100%, you can't extract money. So therefore, what's the name? Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok says that Rav says, Rav would agree that if she dies, the husband won't inherit her. What?
What property could a 10-year-old have? Is that stipulated in the by kedushin that my girl is coming
to? I mean, like,
maybe the father gave her when she was born. Maybe she inherited something when she was born.
Well, legally, a 10-year-old can own land and this and that.
If somebody gives it to her, yeah. If you give a kid something on the condition the parents don't get it, it's theirs, kids.
And they have documents with their name on it.
Yeah. Well, what happens if a relative died, she gets inheritance? Or whatever the case could be. I mean, it's possible for a kid to have own property.
I'm talking about a case where the girl is possibly married to a kohen, and we say she could eat truma because of that.
Not possibly. If she married a kohen without the father's knowledge, but the father agreed to the kedushin.
This is as opposed to a monetary case where...
It's the same case, but we're talking about money, we're talking about truma. Truma, Rav says she could eat, and money stays by the father, not by the new husband.
Why is money so much more, that needs to be so close?
Whose money was it for sure? It's for sure the father's money. Okay, now the question, does the husband get it or not? And that's a doubt. Did he consent or didn't he consent? The father. If the father didn't consent, is she married? No. Does the husband get it? No. So it's 50-50. Did he consent? Didn't he consent? Truma is not money. Money, there's a chazak of the previous owner. Here's a shayla, a new shayla in the air. Can she eat truma or not?
So she can't.
Rav says she could. Because... Yeah, but that's enough of a doubt, especially because the father consented to the kedushin. It's enough of a doubt to allow it, to permit it. Why? And I should have said this before. I did say it before. Biblically, from the kedushin, she could already eat truma. That means minatera, she's definitely allowed to eat truma. The question is, rabbinically, can she eat truma or not? Right? I should have mentioned this before. I did, but not in this context. It's only a rabbinic question. I mean, I tell you, once the kedushin is valid, she can eat truma.
That makes it totally different.
Well, it makes it much stronger, yeah, because now it's only a rabbinic question. Okay.
This 10-year-old gets married.
You like this 10-year-old, huh?
The father is away. The mother and the brothers can't say
anything
to stop her?
Nope. No jurisdiction over the kid. Okay, next case. Until now we learned she got married, she got kedushin with the das of the father. The father left out of town. And then she got married behind his back.
Right.
Now it's the same case, but the father is in town. She had kedushin with the father's consent. She got married, not asking the father, but the father's in town. So let's see. Niskach and Ladas, this girl got engaged in kedushin with the father's knowledge. Venisa Shalei Ladas, and she got married without the father's knowledge, but Avia Khan, the father is here. So now the question is, can this girl eat truma or not? And the Gemara is going to say what two opinions and explain it. Rav Huna Amar Einar Cheles. Rav Huna says she cannot eat truma if the husband's a Kayan. Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba Amar Echeles, she could eat. Okay? And now this is going to be a very interesting argument. Is silence admission? Or silence is that I'm too angry to comment?
So the father was in town, meaning that he knew about it.
He knew about it. But she didn't do it with his permission.
So that's admission. So I'm the admission.
Maybe silence was angry at you.
No, we know it.
Let's see what the Gemara says. Rav Huna Amar, the Gemara explains like this. Rav Huna says she cannot eat truma. What he says, Afilu l'rav da'amar l'icheles, even though in the case when the father's out of the country. Rav said the girl could eat truma, but hasim dula isa la'av, the father's not here. Aval hocha de isa la'av, but in this city when the father is here, hi the ishtik, you know why he was quiet? Because Mirzach Rosach, he was extremely angry about it.
Wait a minute.
Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar Echeles. Rabbi Yirmiyah says the girl could eat truma if the father's in town and was quiet. Why? And he says, Afilo Ravasi, even according to Ravasi in the other case, when the father's out of the country, who says, Ein Echeles, over there, you know why she says he can't eat? Because Hasim Shema Yava Yavi Yavimcha, maybe the father will come back from out of town and protest the marriage. But here, if the father's in town and he's quiet, that's admission. So it's a very interesting argument. What does silence mean? The girl had kedushin with the father knowing about it. She gets married without the father knowing about it, but he's in town. What does it mean he's in town? He knows about it. And he was quiet. Okay? So, Rav Huna says, the fact that the father is quiet shows he was against it. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says the opposite. The fact that the father was silent is because he agrees to it. Now, even in Halacha, by the way, not only in this case, if I come over to you and say, you owe me $1,000, and you ignore me, is that silence admission? Or like, go fly a kite? What does that mean? I come over to you, now, you owe me $1,000, and you just ignore me. Halacha says, that's not admission. But if I take you to Beis Din, and in court they say to you, in front of the court, you owe me $1,000, and you're quiet, that's admission. You can't say, I'm ignoring you. So you find many concepts in Halach of silence. What is silence? Or a kid says, I'm taking the car for a joyride. And the parent doesn't answer. Does that mean the father saying, yeah, go take it? Or the father said, don't you even think about it? This is the machlekes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba.
Yeah, well, we have a pasuk in Torah.
What?
When a girl makes a vow and the father is quiet for overnight, that means it's over. We have that specifically.
But here, the question is, the fact that he agreed to the Kedushin, again, the fact that he agreed to the Kedushin, and now he's silent, that means that he admits, he says, good, I'm happy to it. Based on that, she would be allowed to eat truma. The other opinion says no. The father thinks, I'm in town, she's getting married without my permission. Okay, you think I'm going to agree to that? There's a better question. Why don't you just ask him? Let Beis Din go over to the guy and say, excuse me, did you or didn't you agree? Right? That would be pretty easy. But obviously, it's speaking, the guy's not here anymore. Obviously, he's here. Ask him. Did you consent or didn't you consent? Right? When your silence was admission or fighting. But obviously, he's not here to ask. So if not, you can ask him.
But he was in town.
Yeah. But now he's not. He skipped town after the wedding. He didn't stay for Sheva Brachas. He just left.
He was really upset.
Yeah?
But when you said it depends on the context, if it's outside of Beis Din or inside the Beis Din.
Yeah.
Is that after this Gemara? It's like a maskana?
The what?
If we already know that, why are we going through this?
No, the word is going step by step.
That's what I'm saying. You wouldn't have this
right.
After our message.
No, because this says even according to the... No, Rav Huna says even according to Rav that says she could eat truma, here she can't. It's a different logic.
This issue of being silent is, applies to
a lot of cases. Yes.
On a daily basis.
Sure.
Like an employee can go to his boss and say, I want to take next week off. And his boss doesn't respond. Well, in that situation, how does that look like?
It depends if the boss pays him or if he gets a pink slip.
Because if the silence, the guy can say, well, he was silent, that means that it's okay, he's accepting it.
There is a rule in Torah, generally speaking, shtika kahido. Silence is admission.
There is a
usually. There are a few exceptions. Like you said, if I come up to you in the street and say you owe me $1,000, I mean, why should I even bother answering you? But in the case where, like in court, where if a worker would come, okay, let's see Torah law, yeah? If a worker comes to the boss and says, hey, boss, I'm taking off next week. And the boss says nothing. He has a very strong case in halacha to take off and well, the question is he going to get paid or not? But we, you know.
He's not, he doesn't lose his
job. Over there, the boss should have answered yes or no. What do you mean, you're silent? Silence is admission.
Maybe he's not at home because he comes late every day anyway, and now he wants to take a whole week off.
So he wants to fire him. It's a good excuse. As a rule, though, especially in court, okay, or not only that, in front of two witnesses, I call over two witnesses. Okay, and you see I'm calling over two witnesses. And I say, you know you owe me $1,000?
Well, that he has to respond.
Then you have to respond because there's two witnesses here. I'm not asking some... I come over to you out of the crib, you owe me $1,000. You say, you know, I'm not even bothering to answer you. Okay? Or sometimes kids come over and the parents say, I'm not even bothering answering you. You ever heard that? I'm not even bothering answering you. That's not admission. But as a rule, shtika kahido, silence is admission. Unless if a person could say, listen, the silence wasn't admission, it was ignoring you because it's such a ridiculous thing. I'm just ignoring you. Okay, then the Gemara says another case. Niskacha shalei ledasa via. A girl got engaged without the knowledge of the father, and she got married without the knowledge of the father, and the father's here. Okay, here the girl, this case is different. The girl did everything without the father. She got kedushin and marriage, and the father wasn't aware of it, but he's in town. Now the question is, she married a kohen. Can she eat or not? Can she eat truma or not?
She's still 10 years old.
She's still 10 years old. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, Echeles, she can eat, Truma. Rav Yirmir Bar Abba Amar, Ein Echeles. Rav Yirmir Bar Abba says he can't eat. Now, it's weird. Rav Huna before said that if she had Kedusha with the father's knowledge, right, and she got married without the father's knowledge, she could eat. Because we assume the father is going to agree. Now, I mean, oh, no, I'm sorry. Over there, Rav Huna says she can't eat. Right? Because even though the father agreed to the Kedushin, maybe he didn't agree to the marriage. Right? Maybe he didn't agree to the marriage, so Rav Huna says she can't eat.
Right.
Now comes along Rav Huna and says like this, if she did everything without the father's knowledge, she could eat.
This is a situation where she gets 12 years old or...
No, now 10. She's still 10.
Yeah, but if she gets... But she's the one that can say, you know what, forget about this marriage. Right?
Correct. But right now, she's married. Right, she's married to the Kohen. Can't she? So Rav Huna says she can. Which is weird, because Rav Huna said before that if the father agreed to the Kedushin, but not to the marriage, we don't know, she cannot eat. And in this case, she did nothing with the father's permission. And so Amar Ula says, Hada Rav Huna, the statement of Rav Huna, is a pasik. Chachemitz the Shinayim is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Meaning, it's kooky. Yeah. He says, Hasha, and Ula explains this question. Mahasim, what of in the case over there, when she did the Kedusha with the father's knowledge, but the marriage not? Kedusha, there I see where the Kedusha is biblical because the father agreed to it. Amar to you, Rav Huna said, Loi Ochla, she cannot eat. Even though biblically she could eat. Because she's in Kedusha. Right? And the case was the father agreed to it. So now he says, Hacha, now that nothing was done with the father's permission, of course she shouldn't be able to eat truma. Why is she eating truma? So therefore, Rav Huna says, Nira and Divrei HaTalmud. Therefore, it sounds like Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Okay, who's the student of Rav Huna. Here's another interesting case. Rav Huna was the Rebbe, Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba was the student. So Ula says, guess what? In this case, the student's right, not the teacher. Because Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba says she cannot eat truma, right? He said, that makes sense. But Rav Huna that said that she could eat truma doesn't make sense. So therefore, Ahmed Rava comes along and says, no, you're wrong. You know why over here it's even better than the case before? The case before was, she did Kedushin with the father's knowledge, but not the marriage. So Rav Huna says she cannot eat truma. Maybe the father doesn't like it. This case, she did the Kedushin without the father and the marriage without the father. Rav Huna says she could eat. He says, you know why? This girl doesn't have a father. The other girl did. I mean, she has a living father. But she's like an orphan while her father's alive. He says, Nasiba Maisi Yaseima Bechaye Av. She became an orphan during the father's lifetime. Hello?
When did she become an orphan?
No. It's not. It's an expression. She acts like an orphan. In other words, the fact that the father is here, that's the case. The father's in town, and he ignored both things. That means the father doesn't care about his daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's like a fatherless kid with a father. So over here, Rav explained, over here Rav Huna says she could eat. See, when the girl's father was involved, he agreed to the Kedushin, but not to the marriage. Oh, we don't know about the marriage. Rav Huna said, 1 minute, you have a caring father over here. Maybe he's not going to want the marriage. Maybe he found out terrible things about the guy. You know, but when a girl... the father's in town. She does Kedushin without the father. She gets married without the father. This kid is a fatherless girl that has a father. So over there, the wedding is good.
The problem is the father that is not getting it.
The problem is the father. Well, maybe the father didn't want anything to do with his kid.
Sometimes quoting an Amir says, Amar, sometimes Amir.
Where Amir Amar?
It says Amar.
Amar.
It's always Amar?
Seven Pirkei Avos. Because all of me over there, they lived with it. Okay. Now the Gemara is going into a similar case, but a different aspect of it.
Then you will get married. If there's no father, she needed someone's...
The mother and brothers.
Of course.
The mother and brothers. If she has none of the above, a girl's left all alone, widowed, orphaned from both parents, no brothers, she can get kedushin herself, but she can, nullify it at bas mitzvah. She can do miyun. Doesn't get involved. What happens? The girl did it. Whatever.
So it's first the father, and then the mother, and then the brothers.
Yeah. No, mother and brothers are together.
Same power.
Now the story is like this: a girl accepted kedushin without the father knowing. Who could stop it? The girl got kedushin without the father knowledge. Can she and the father stop it? Only she or only the father? Who can stop this? Who can undo it? Okay. So it says like this: Itma withered. The girl got engaged without the father's knowledge. Amarav, Rav says, Bain he, Bain avia yuchelin lakiv. Either her or the father can do it. Stop it. Okay? In other words, and this is a very powerful din, Rav is saying, the girl got kedushin without the father. Technically, the father could stop it. Right? What happens if the father didn't stop it? The father says, I love this marriage. It stays. What happens, Raf says, the girl got engaged without the father, not engaged, kedushin, without the father. Before the father came back, the girl said, I don't want it. Then the father came and said, I want it.
Basically asking if she has the
question
girl has
is,
any power.
Does she have the power? The mother's in the kitchen, barefoot. Right? In other words, if a girl does kedusha without the father's knowledge, and the father comes back and says, I want it, it's full-fledged marriage. Biblical, everything. Right? What happens if the father says, I don't want it? It's nothing. Here there's a case, Rav's din is as follows. The girl accepted kedusha without the father. She, a week later, said, I don't want it. The father came back a day later than that and said, I do want it. Does the girl have the power to nullify it? Or if she doesn't have the power to nullify it, and the father said yes, then she's married. Does the girl have the power to nullify it, or only the father? So Rav says, Bein he, Bein aviha. She or the father can stop it. Which means that if she stops it before the father agreed to it, the father cannot agree to it anymore.
So only kedushin.
Kedushin.
Not nisuin.
No. And Ravasi Amar, Ravasi says no. Avi of Elohi, only the father could stop it, not her. So according to Ravasi, if the girl changed her mind, and then the father came back and said, either he didn't know what the girl said, or he doesn't care what the girl said, he said, I like the shidduch. It's a shidduch. According to Rav, it's not a shidduch.
Because she nullified it before the
Rav. Right. And she has the power to nullify it. Ravasi says, the girl doesn't have the power. Only the father does.
We've learned before that she doesn't have the power.
Huh?
We've learned that she doesn't have the power.
Not about this.
Kiddushin is marriage up in the Eresa?
If what?
Kiddushin itself. Just kiddushin.
A normal kiddushin?
Yeah.
Of course it's minatera. Ki kachi shisha.
So how could she herself nullify it? How could she...
Because it was without the father's intent and she's a minor.
But if she doesn't...
If the girl's 14...
If she does nisuin, we say, no, you have
she
to...
She didn't do nisuin.
I understand, but if she does nisuin, we say, no, you have to wait till you're...
For what?
To nullify.
Eat truma. No. If the father did the kedushin, the father agreed to it, she can't do miun. She needs a full-fledged get.
Right.
No. Because she's 100% married.
What is
they
basing it on? The
argument
of
the Rav.
Huh?
Based on what? You say he has a
poverty, you
say he doesn't have a
poverty.
What is based on what?
If
Kiddushin
is the
Raisa. We'll
simply,
we're
going to
learn that from
a Pasuk. If Kiddushin is the Raisa, and it's held by her mere words, how could she nullify by herself?
The Kiddushin of a Ketana is not Minatera. Only if the father marries her off. Not if she does it herself.
So if she does it herself, so
it's worthless.
The father doesn't, it's nothing. So why do we
say? No, if the father says no, if the father says yes, then the father married her off.
I understand, but if the father said no, why does the second opinion say it's not enough that the father has to know?
The father didn't say no, the father doesn't know about it. Doesn't know about it. Not no. He doesn't know about it. So the father never said no. The case, what the second case is, the father said yes after the girl said no. Can the girl undo the mess she made? Or only the father can undo the mess?
If it's nothing, then it's not a mess. That's what I'm trying to say. If it's nothing...
But if a girl accepts Kedusha without the father, what's the din before? We don't know. Maybe the father will accept it. And in this case, the truth is the father came and did accept it. The only problem is the girl refused before the father came back.
Right. So it should make perfect sense that it's nullified.
Why?
Because before he upheld it, she nullified it.
But maybe she doesn't have the ability. Once the father wants it, it's retroactively but good. So how could she nullify it?
According to the second opinion. That's what the second opinion.
No, according to any opinion. If the father wants it, it's retroactively good. It's not starting to be good from now.
Even if she nullified
it? In all these cases of the Gemara, the girl went ahead and did Kedusha without the father. Correct? So if the father comes and wants it,
it's
good. From when? The father came a week later.
Right.
It's retroactively good.
Right.
The question is, does the girl have the ability to undo it before the father does it? So that's the argument of the Gemara. One opinion says yes. Rav says her or the father can nullify it. Rav Asi says no, only the father, not the girl. The girl has no power over here. And the Gemara says, Eitzir, Avonel, Rav Asi. So Rav Asi was the one that said, only the father, not her. He asked him a question. But Rav Asi, the Pasuk says like this, Yemoin, Yemoin, Afia, Litin Lo. There's a story like this in the Pasuk. A guy seduces a girl. Okay? A guy doesn't rape her. He seduces her to be with him. So the Torah says, Moha Yemirenu Lo Leisha. He should marry her. And as best and advises him to marry her. Then the Pasuk says like this, Imoin Yomarin Avia Litano, Lusitalo. What happens if the father refuses to give her to the girl?
To the guy.
So then it says like this. Then he has to give 50 shkolim a fine to the girl. He has to pay a fine to the girl. Kesach Hamishim shkolim. Okay? If the father agrees and she marries him, he doesn't have to pay any money. If the father refuses for the girl to marry him, then he has to pay 50 shekels, right? But the Pasuk uses the expression like this, Imoin Yemoin. If refusal, refusal. What's the double expression? So Gemara says, Ein li elo avia. I only know from the word Yemoin that the father can nullify it and say, I don't want the girl to marry this guy. What happened? He atma minayin. How do I know the girl can say, I don't want to marry this guy who seduced me? Because it says, anyway. So what do you see from this case? The father can undo it. The girl is seduced. Yeah? Now, so therefore the Torah says, really, if the father wants, he can marry her off to the guy. But the Pasuk says, imoin, imoin, the father could refuse. And then there's an extra word teaching me, the girl could refuse. So you see, how could you, Rav Asi, say only the father and not the girl? Here you see clearly in the case that the girl and the father could refuse. So he says, amaluhu, leitez lubasit ibcha. Do not follow a proof that it's incorrect. He said, you're learning this case incorrectly. What's the case? Shepito shalelu shumishis. The pasuk here is referring to the guy didn't seduce her to marry her. He seduced her because he wanted to seduce her. He's never intending to marry her. In other words, like this, if he seduced her for marriage, it's like the girl accepting kedushin.
Yeah.
Bia is one of the three ways of acquiring, right? So the Gemara thought, what's the case over here? The girl was seduced for marriage. And if the guy says to the girl, come, I'll marry you, let's be together, okay? So over there, it's like the Ketana that accepted Kedushin without the father's knowledge. And yet the Pasuk says the girl can also refuse. Moin yamoin. So it's a question of Asi who says the girl can't refuse. So he says, they're not talking about Kedushin over there. He seduced her not for Kedushin, not for marriage. So it's never considered the girl accepted Kedushin. The girl never accepted Kedushin. Because it wasn't for marriage. It was tam for whatever. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Peter Shleilu Shum Ishas Kroboy. So do you need a pasuk to tell me that if you seduced her not for marriage, that she can nullify it? It's nothing anyway. It's not Kedushin at all. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Yitzchok said, you're right. It's not teaching me she could refuse it. It's teaching me that he has to pay knas kemefuta. In other words, even if the girl at some future... No, I'm saying, it means like this. If the girl does not, even later on, does not agree to marry him, he still has to pay the fine of $50, a 50 shekel. Amalei Rav Yosef says, Hihachi Hainu the Tanin. If that's the case, this is what we learned. Moha Yimirana Leili Isha should hurry up and marry her. Shetzricha Menu Kedushin, that you married, that the guy, it says, Moha Yimirana Leili Isha. What happens if the girl wants to marry the guy and the father agrees? You have to hurry up and marry her. And the Gemara says, what does that teach us? That he needs to do another Kedushin. There's no right. So he says, in Peter the Shumishus Kedusha Lamali, if the guy seduced her for marriage, then he had Kedushin already. Why does she need another Kedushin?
I don't understand. So that why should seduction be anything? A Pialach is nothing, no? I mean, huh? I thought that you need Kedushin. There are three ways, and seduction is not one of those three ways.
But it's Bia.
It's not. You said it's not.
If it's done the Shemishus or not.
Seduction means having relations?
Yeah, what do you think it means? Give her a lollipop.
No, I thought it was just...
No, seduction means had relations. But the question wasn't the same Kedushin. So Gemara says, if it's not the same Kedushin, of course you need another Kedushin.
So beer is like Kedushin?
It is, but Kesef Shtar and beer. Amalei Abaya Tzricha Kedushin Dasavir. What it means is like this. She needs to redo Kedushin that the father she consent to. Because when she was seduced, the father didn't know about it. So the father never agreed to it. So what the din is, if he's going to marry her, they need to do a Kedushin that the father should agree to.
Well, the father could agree to this prior...
Huh?
He could agree to the fact that they...
Retroactive.
Perhaps does not need a Kedushin.
Yeah, but the question is like this. Maybe the father would consent.
No, but he came and he's consenting
now. Or if the girl wants to marry him. But the question is, the Mefarshim explained, rather than still having it a doubt, you should have a definitive thing that the father wants a Kedushin.
The person who's paying the knas of $15?
The boy to the girl. The guy who seduced her.
That's a pasuk?
Yeah,
mishpatim. The girl to the father.
Well, it depends. If she's a minor, it goes to the father.
So the father never finds out about it, she's allowed to remain married to him? Or to at least...
Well, again, you're going back to the same question. Did she marry without the father's permission? With the father's permission?
So we established that she can?
She can, but in this case, if the guy wants to marry her, they need to get the Kedushin again from the father, because she's a minor. All, again, the Gemara is signing another Mishnah. All these cases is with a minor. A 12-year-old, 12-and-a-half-year-old girl that does it, there's no question about this. Okay? She doesn't need her father's consent. Okay? If a 13-year-old girl accepts Kedushin from a boy, the father can scream from today till tomorrow, it's still a valid Kedushin. He might disown her.
Even these days.
Even these days.
With two kosher
aidim. Yeah, two kosher aidim, and, a girl 13, I don't suggest they do it. Well, young. Today is could be called statutory rape. But bottom line is, in the halacha, 13-year-old girl accepts kedushin as kedushin, whether the father likes it or not. In fact, there's two laws concerning two things that says you don't have to listen to your parents: marriage and where to learn Torah. But that doesn't mean every girl should not consult the parents or the boy, whatever. Huh? Yeah, well, it's from the Gemara.
If your parents tell someone that you have to be a doctor, you have to be a doctor?
No.
So there's another one?
No. This. If your parent... no, that's not...
If your parents say no, you could still do it. If you want to marry a girl, they say no, you could still do it.
I'm saying, if you want to have you want to be...
Yeah, but that's not two cases. That din is true, but it's not the same category of a din. In other words, if a girl came to a rav with a halacha question, I'm 13 years old, I want to marry this guy, my parents don't want me to. Okay? Now, obviously, common sense dictates, why don't your parents want? Maybe your parents understand better than you, da 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 da. Push comes to shove. Okay? Push comes to shove.
Yes, the marriage.
The rabbi doesn't have to perform the marriage. But I'm saying, if she's, tell me yes or no, according to law, according to Torah law, can I marry this guy? The rabbi has to say yes. Now I have to say no, because Halacha says she could.
Today's world?
Again, the rabbi, if he has any brains, would talk her out of it. But if she comes, I'm not asking your advice. I'm asking you halachically. Am I allowed to do it or not? The halacha is yes, she could.
But if she's a 22-year-old, I mean, that could be a real case, and still the answer is she could.
But if she's 13 or 10 or 12?
Not 10 or 12, over bas mitzvah.
Okay, but 13? Who's going to marry a girl 13?
Yitzchok married Rivka at 3.
But this is the old days. This is modern
old
day.
Days.
This is an overgrown girl.
Huh? That was years ago. That was
she's 6 foot
ago.
Tall already. Some 12 years old are 6 foot tall.
Yeah. So? That doesn't make him 6 foot smart.
So if the parents, 6 foot. If the parents want their son to be a doctor instead of an airline pilot, that's not halachic law. He doesn't have to listen to them. If they're saying, I demand that you be a doctor. Does he have to? Is that law?
It's much more complicated, but it's not as simple as this law that they don't have to listen.
But in the old days, they considered physical stature of a minor before they, or a younger girl before they allowed to get married. Like a 15-year-old, they married 15, 12, 13. 14.
Everybody in the olden days, especially in the Sephardic countries like Yemen and those places, I mean, girls got married at 15. That was normal.
But before that, you have to take them to the rav. And I said the rav should say, okay, this girl is too little to get married.
I'm talking about modern day America here, not Yemen.
No.
Yemen, they still marry more from 13 to 12. I'm talking about modern day America.
Marry him off the day he become bas mitzvah. Marry him off. Let somebody else live through their teenage years. Yeah. Why do you need to marry him off at 12?
Against the law.
Huh?
American law.
What do they know?
Yeah,
in a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael also, in a lot of Hasidic communities, forget Eretz Yisrael. In Williamsburg, in these places, a lot of 16-year-old girls get married.
16, okay, but not 13, 12.
What's the difference? A lot of 13-year-olds are smarter than 16-year-olds.
So one other example, Rabbi, about when he can learn Torah is like, for instance, you want your son to go to this yeshiva, but your son wants to go to another yeshiva, he can say no, I'm going to go to a different yeshiva.
I'm not talking about little kids, yeah.
What age? Like, is it 16?
Technically over bar mitzvah. Yeah.
And both
as you as
a kosher and
good. We're talking about, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking. The what?
Wants to move to New York or somewhere else. You want to be independent, move away from.
Nah, that's not, we're not talking about that. That's a different story. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Mishnah says like this. Emerly Isha, a man comes, okay, forget the minors, forget all these crazy cases. This is, a guy comes over to a woman, normal adult man and woman. Says, it's Katsili Betmarazu. Become a Kodeshus to me with this date. And then he says to her, it's Katsili Betmarazu. Become a Kodeshus to me with this one. Okay? So he says, he gives her a date and says, be Mukadeshus to me with this date. Then he gives another date and says, be Mukadeshus to me with this date. Or fig or whatever. Then he says, Im Yesh Ba'achas Me'em Shava Pruta. If either one of them has a Shava Pruta, that means not together. Each one of the two must be worth a Pruta, a penny or a nickel, whatever.
He's asking twice.
Huh? He's not asking her twice. He's giving her two dates.
Repeating the same question.
Because the way, he's not asking, he's saying a statement.
Marry me with this. Yeah. Marry me with this.
Right.
Marry me with that.
That means he doesn't want them both together to be a pruta. If a guy says to a woman, be mukadeshus to me with this, and he gives her two dates, okay, if each date is a half a pruta, together it's a pruta. Correct? Here he says like this. Again, it's why he's saying like this, ask him, he's crazy. He says, become mukadeshus to me with this date. Become mekudeshes to me with this date. The fact that he's separating them means he doesn't want them both to be counted together. Right. So therefore, one of them must have a pruta for the kedushin to be valid. Vimlav ain't a mekudeshes. And if not, it's not valid. Simple logic. What happens, he says like this, bizu u bizu bizu. He hands her the dates and says, become kudashis to me with this, with this, with this. Then im yashava pruta bekulam, if all together there's a pruta, because now he's saying one statement. Become a kudashis to me with this, this, and this. He didn't say become a kudashis to me with this, become a kudashis to me with this. Then he's breaking it.
He bundled it
together. So then, im yashava pruta bekulam, if all together there's a pruta mekudashis. Vim lav. And if not, not because he never gave her a pruta. The three dates were worth a half a pruta.
Where does the
Gemara we learned that from before, from the beginning of Kedushim from Pasik. Now, it's a crazy guy, crazy woman. A guy says to a woman here, become a Kedushim to me with this, with this, with this. Okay? Now, when he gave her the first one, she ate it up. She gave him the second one. He gave her the second one. She ate it up. By the time he gave her a third one,
the other two are gone.
So the Mishnah says, "Einu mekudeshes ad sheyeh ba'achas mehem shava pruta." Then one of them must have a pruta, because when he gave her three, one and two weren't existing. Right? When he gave her one, she ate it up right away. By the time he gave her two, one was non-existent.
So he still gave one at a time. He didn't say, here's three. He said, here's one.
No. No, but he gave her bazoo, bazoo, bazoo.
But she ate one. She didn't hand them all at, he didn't hand them all at the same time.
No, he says,
handing one at a time.
Yeah, but he packaged it in one language. He didn't say, become a kodeshes to me with this, become a kodeshes to me with this. He said, become a kodeshes to me with this, with this, with this. She takes the phone, obviously she made a bracha, pops them all in, then one of the three must have a pruta. Because you don't have all three together. If you don't have all three together, it's not a good kedusha.
She has to take all three in her hand?
Yeah.
For it to happen?
Huh?
She actually has to take hold of them for that to happen. She has to actually take hold of those three items.
Well,
at one time, in
order ideally for a kedusha, she needs to have all three dates in the hand. Because then together it's a shava pruta.
She has two in the hand and one on the table. Is she taking them or no? It's just not good.
If it's right in front of her, then she can get it. Yeah, it is.
It's
right. Okay, now.